It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Uh-oh, I'm going to sneeze. I just put an Altoid in my mouth. I should learn my lesson. Every time I put an every time I put one of those in my mouth, a couple minutes later, I have to have a sneeze-a-thon. I feel like I'm going to have one. So I'll fight that thing off as good as I can.
This is the second time we caught you sniffling in the show. You don't have the corona chance.
Yeah, I don't have the coronavirus. I got the Altoid virus. That's what I got here. So thanks for being here with me. Hey, let's really try to make this a flea flicker Friday. I was up early this morning, woke up. I had a lot of oppression yesterday. I don't know if you guys go through that or not. And when I have oppression, I recognize that I can't really do anything about it. And I had basically a do-nothing day yesterday. I'm just telling you, not that I wanted to, but wanted to have a do-nothing day, but had a do-nothing day. It's like there was a weight on me all day long, no matter what I did, and I couldn't get off from under it. And about 4 o'clock this morning, I woke up, and I knew immediately that thing had lifted off of me, so thank God for that. How about this? Polly Heath is cancer-free. Is that something? She went and had her first test. She's cancer-free. How about that? That may not be a big deal to you, but I can promise you this. It's a big deal to her. So, Polly, we rejoice with you and Mike. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Hey, listen, I really want to make this a flea flicker Friday. In fact, I'm not even going to get rolling because I have one of those days right now. I am so loaded for bear. But rather than me coming on here and dominating or whatever, I'm going to open it up even right now. What do you want to talk about? And I promise you, I've got something connected to it over here right now. So if I start talking, I'm going to go, I know me, you know, I'm going to get in a row and I'm going to plow. And I just want to pull back here for a minute and say, hey, what row would you like to plow today? So I'm going to open it up right now. I'm looking over here. If somebody's got something they want to say, come on in and say it. Welcome to whatever. John Brockoff. I see that you're unmuted, John. Did you unmute on purpose or am I catching you? Because, John, if you are, you're up.
Yeah, I did, but I'll mute now so you don't hear.
No, you don't have to. You don't want to get me into trouble all the time with the FBI and all those guys. I just want them to know that you're still alive and kicking. You're still alive and kicking. Let's see here. Let's go to Myra. Myra Schneider. Come on, Myra. Come on in. Is it Myra? Is it Myra? Myra?
Yes, Myra. 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 Hi, Coach. Thank you so much for your program. I'm really excited about it. I'm pretty much the only one in my household that listens to you. My husband doesn't agree to anything you may say or Hagman and Hagman may say, but that's the way it goes. I am a therapist, and at this point, I feel I have put my license in jeopardy because when clients need hope, I give them Jesus. And I'm not licensed to be a preacher or anything, just as an option, as a coping mechanism to deal with everything's going on. However, I pray the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over my work, and I will continue. And
you know, I think that's a fine line that a lot of people walk, actually, right? And I think the day is coming when we're going to have to actually take on those issues in court. When I got sued by the ACLU, I told the under deposition, I told them there's no hat rack for my faith when I walk into the public schools. You cannot make me take off my Christian hat to come in here and work with kids. I refuse to do that. And I still think that that's a battle that we're going to have to fight. Go ahead, Myra. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, that's all right. Thank you so much. And what your research that you did in regard to pandemic, that is so true, he's a demon. And the video that you showed yesterday about the snake, that is just as demonic as it gets.
It's right out in our face. This stuff is right in our face. Boy, I tell you, I know where I want to go today, but I'm just going to hold. I got so much good stuff to share with you today.
Thank you. So,
thanks for being with us. God bless you. Your opinion matters here. Your opinion.
Thank you.
Matters, right? And, you know, I want all of you to know I walk a fine line. Hey, a lot of people don't like me. And you know what Myra just said? There's a lot of spouses that don't like me. And I don't try to create that controversy. I really don't. But most of us are so, I don't want to go. Yes, I do, Lord. I'll go there just for a minute, okay? I think I'm going to do a show. I said I'm going to open it up. Can I steal back? Can I steal it back here just a second? I was having this conversation yesterday with who's I talking to? Who was I with? Oh, I was with my son-in-law. I said, you know, the problem in America is Christian men aren't allowed to be harsh anymore. I want you to listen to me a second. Christian men are not allowed to be harsh. Let me pause right here a second. And let me ask all of you, there's 43 of you in the queue that can come in. By the way, folks, if you want to join the queue, just go to CoachDaveLive.com and click on join the queue. And then you can get in here and you can comment like everybody else and be part of it. Now, I would think this. I would think that when Jesus went to Costa Caesarea Philippi and he said to the disciples, who do men say that I am? The disciples replied and says, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets raised from the dead. Now, I'm going to stop you. I want to ask you something right there, right now. Would you agree with me that Jeremiah, Elijah, John the Baptist were all harsh Christian men? You all agree with that? I think so. Jesus said about John the Baptist that there's none born under a woman was greater than John the Baptist. He went to the king, rebuked the king, and the queen cost him his life, right? We know that whole story. Can somebody tell me right now one harsh Christian man that you know of in America? Harsh, in your face, edgy. Wait a minute. Who's accepted? Can you give me one?
Well, me, but what was that last qualifier? I didn't catch that.
A harsh, harsh, bold, harsh, saying the... Here's the argument I had with my son-in-law. It wasn't an argument. Discussion I have with my son-in-law. Oh, Lord, I'll go there, Lord. Okay. And I said, you know what? You know why we don't appeal to the world? You know why Christian men don't appeal to the world? Because the outside Christian world, when we're talking about guys we work with, well, maybe not guys we work with because they tend to know us, but the average person that you run into on the street, when they think of a Christian man, they think of Chuck Swindoll. They think of Mr. Rogers. They think of soft, polite, womany men. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. And in fact, some of the harshest criticism that I ever get on here, telling you the truth, is if I use the word H-E double hockey stick. Or if I were to say, anybody were to ever hear me say the dirty word for going to the bathroom, or if I would ever, ever, ever say a word that somebody somewhere thinks is, what would the word, vulgar. Now, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I am not for vulgarity, okay? I'm not for that. But I'm going to tell you something. The average person walking up and down the street does not know what to do with a harsh Christian man. Not vulgar. Harsh. Straight shooter, call like it is, don't care if I hurt your feelings. You guys know any Christian men like that? Wait a minute, hang on. Public Christian men like that. I'm waiting to hear one that you might know.
Well, the ones that they knew in the olden days ended up getting killed, didn't they?
They did. They did. Do you know? Come on now. Come on. I'm going somewhere today. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't like the word harsh, but I understand what you're saying. But I think Pastor Dunphy gets close to that. He's an uncompromising public in your face.
But Roger, there's always this tendency. There's always this idea. There's always this challenge to, are you ready? Act like a Christian. And can I tell you something? I don't even know what that means.
Well, but
I don't know how to act like a Christian. I don't know how to do it.
But I think that's the hypocrisy that turns a lot of people away.
Well, because they don't know what is and is not Christian.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? And right. We focus more on behavior, action, than we do on...
There's no
harsh Christian men in America, folks. There aren't any.
Because we care about appearance, not the actual Christianity itself. The appearance of. Remember?
Benny, we're told to act like Christians. I said, okay, act like John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah. You want me to act like those guys? Who do you want me to act like? Mother Teresa? Act like Mother Teresa.
Have to be more words. Deeds, not words. Deeds, not words. Don't tell me you're a Christian. Show me.
What are the characteristics of a Christian man? What would they be? What would the characteristics? So I got into this discussion yesterday with Isaiah, and he wasn't mad. I wasn't mad. Just a discussion, right? And I brought up the idea of be angry and sin not. Is he allowed to be angry? Is a Christian man allowed to be angry? Would some of this crap that we see going on in America, would it be going on if Christian men were allowed to be angry? If Christian men were allowed to show up and say, talk like a man, or do we have to show up and talk like a Christian man? Are those the same things?
No.
I say we have been conditioned by the culture. Who were the sons of thunder? Why did they call them the sons of thunder? Well, they called them the sons of thunder because of the way they spoke. They were harsh. Sons of thunder. Right? You guys know any sons of thunder?
Coach.
Yeah.
You're missing a word.
Help me.
Loud.
Okay. Not allowed to be loud, Joseph.
Well, it works. It's effective. It helps people to hear.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't sound Christian, though, does it, Joseph? Is that Christian? Is that being Christ-like, being loud? I hear people say that. I hear it all the time. I get emails. Myra maybe would be one of them. People would say, Coach, I can't stand when you yell.
That's too bad. They didn't like it when you
yelled. Don't watch anything else, man. This is who I am. And where does it say I'm not allowed to yell? Who made those rules that said I'm not allowed to yell? Who made the rules that said I'm not allowed to get mad? Who made the rules that said I'm not allowed to be a straight talker? Who made those rules? What book of the gospel is that in?
Even Jesus was angry at the people selling the offerings in the temple. And he overturned the table. He wasn't very quiet about it.
I'm dominating again. I don't mean to do that. You guys, you hear what I'm saying? Bear with me a second. I'm going to make a point. Okay, I'm going to make a point. I don't even know if Rob Pugh's in here because I don't want. I was looking at some of your stuff this morning, Rob. I don't know if you're still sleeping in on us up there or not. Screw down. Yeah, he's in there. So I said, hey, Connor. I'm sorry, Sheldon. Go down to it says Bot Radio. We're trying to have this rally at. Not trying. We're having this rally at the state. It's going to be great. We'll have a great crowd. I'd love for some of you to come. Everybody can get there to get there. Am I even allowed to say that? I don't know.
Hey, Coach, come down here in Oklahoma. I'll show you a couple of sons of thunder, me and my brother.
Okay. Well,
come on down here. I'll show them to you every day, right out where we work and live every day.
Have they rejected you from the church yet, Randy, for being too loud and too boisterous?
I have been out of the church for 20 years, Coach. They won't let me in but about once a year, and then they're good, glad to see me leave. But
there you go. So well, let me make a point here, okay, today. Go to Bot Radio. Do you have that up there? I feel this really deeply inside of me today, by the way. I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to be Mr. Nice Christian. I'm tired of it. I'm tired. Nice is nowhere in the New, one time maybe in the New Testament. Nice. Let me pull it up here. Bot Radio. Broadcast schedule on Bot Radio. Go to schedule. Let's start scrolling down here a second. I want you to look at some of these. Now, Bot Radio is a national. It's a national. I'm not making fun of Bot Radio. I'm trying to show you why we're in the mess that we're in, okay? So you want to listen to Bot Radio. You turn on Bot Radio. Here's what you get. Hope in the Night, Running to Win with Erwin Lutzer, In Touch with Charles Stanley. See, he's been in touch so long, he's out of touch. Yet people continue to listen to him because why? He does just feel-good stuff. Oh, Jim Daly on Focus on the Family. Turning Point with Dr. Jeremiah. Hey, it's about time to turn some into Dr. Jeremiah. If we're at the turning point, it's about time to turn some stuff here. Michael Youssef's going to lead the way. And then Bill Mayer and Adriel Sanchez is going to do Core Christianity. And then, oh, Chip Ingram's living on the edge. I bet he is. I bet he's living on the edge. Oh, yeah. And then Robert Jeffress is going to give us Pathways to Victory. And Greg Laurie is going to give us A New Beginning. And Jack Hibbs is going to give us Real Radio. And Through the Bible with John MacArthur. And, oh, my good Insight for Living with Chuck Swindoll. And Love Worth Finding with Adrian Rogers. And who's dead, by the way. We still got dead people doing this stuff. Family Life Today with Dave and Ann Wilson. Co-host Bob Lapine. Oh, Michael Youssef's going to lead the way. And Charles Stanley is going to be in touch. And we're going to discover the word with DeHaan and Crowder. And Just Thinking with... You see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? How everything that you see on here is directed at you. Everything on here is directed at you. So I thought, well, that's just Bot Radio. They can't be. Let's go to Salem. Certainly Salem's going to be better. Salem Radio, they'll be better. They got to be better, right? Let's go to Salem. Oh, let's see. Afterglow. Alternatives to Medicine. Andrew Farley Live. Andrew Farley Show Weekend. Armed American Radio. What's that? Ask the Pharmacist. Ask the Pharmacist Weekend. Bible Answer Man. Bible Answer Man Weekend. Bible Crossfire. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Cal Thomas. How long has he been around? Cal Thomas has been on for 30 years, and all this mess that we have in America has happened while Cal Thomas gave his commentaries on what was happening. Right? Christian Car Guy, Christian Worldview. Eric Metaxas, I kind of like, he almost gets edgy, but hey, you can't get too edgy. Get too edgy, they run you off. So let's go to Bot or VCY America, that's where Rob Pugh is. I wonder if Rob is Rob in here? I don't get you in trouble, Rob. I don't get you in trouble. Rob, are you allowed to say harsh stuff at VCY America? You got a show there. Are you allowed to say hard stuff? I know Rob's working hard. He's starting WCN Radio, right? Rob's trying to do the harsh stuff. But I can promise you this, he ain't welcome to do it. So let's scroll down here. Let's see. Daily program schedule. There's a PDF. Well, you can't. It's a real small one there. Trust me, we don't even need to go there. It is the same bilge. Same bilge everywhere. That's our problem. Christian conditioning. Christian conditioning. And we are in the process of losing our society, our culture, being destroyed from within. And people turn me off if I say S-H-I-T. Somebody come in and say, oh me or oh my. Somebody come in and help me a minute. What do we do? What do we do? How do we reach the masses? My wife is talking about some of the friends that we have, and we just lament the fact that So many of them don't get it. They just don't get it. These are good, good, good Christian people. And they got no clue. In fact, one of them said to us the other day, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to hear it. So they turn on Leading the Way with Michael Youssef. Or Insight for Living with Chuck Swindoll. They sit inside their prayer closets in their cocoons. I'm being a little harsh today.
Isn't there a verse in Psalm or Proverbs that states that there's a time and place for everything?
Yeah.
If there is, then I'd say now is the time and place to be getting angry and let that righteous anger flow.
Yeah. 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 I had a guy, I won't tell you who, doesn't matter. And see, some of you are going to take this wrong. I don't care how you take it. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I had a guy send me an email yesterday. You know, I wrote my commentary yesterday, and I got an email from a guy who's, maybe you guys would know, maybe wouldn't. It's not a guy in the queue. Somebody outside the queue. Good Christian guy outside the queue. And he read my commentary, and he wrote back to me, are you ready? One thing he put. Am I allowed to say this, Lord? I'll say it in a way that you'll understand. He wrote, effing A. Effing A. And you know what? In other words, he was saying, right on. And you know what I thought? I thought, dude, that boy might be tougher than I thought.
Amen, brother.
He might be tougher than I thought. And do I now disqualify him as a good Christian brother because he used the F word? Because there's some of you that would.
Coach, can I speak on that real quickly?
Please.
Okay. So invectives are part of language. Some invectives are used not in and of themselves, but to highlight a clear and present danger. You know, the word fire should actually be an invective and should actually only be used when there's a danger. Right? When you ever hear someone yell fire, you know instinctively there's a problem, you need to run. Now, usually when you hear someone yell the F word or use it in that fashion, that the word in and of itself means nothing in the conversation. It's the intention of the word to bring your attention to something that was said. It's all about the context.
I agree, right?
Right. But people keep forgetting that. They keep going back to, oh, he said F, he said F. And it's just a distraction. It's a distraction. Right.
People would say, well, coach, the scripture says let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Wow. I agree with that. Does me saying S-H-I-T, is that corrupt? Is that corrupt?
You know, communication is more than a single word. Communication right. is expressing an idea. Now,
hey, Larry, would corrupt communication be me not telling you the truth about what I really think? Wouldn't that be?
Now, that would be corrupt communication. That would be hidden communication, keeping the truth from people. But, right. you know, single words like the F word and all those other things. The Bible says that what's in your heart comes out of your mouth, and right. God knows what the meaning of that word coming out of your mouth was. He knows whether you mean it as an invective, nasty, horrible thing, or he knows if that's four letters that the English language has put together that have become absolutely meaningless in today's society.
And so the same people, Larry, then I'm talking about me now, the same people who attacked me because I might have some point said H-E double hockey stick, those are the same people who won't lift a finger to go rescue a baby. Now, you tell me which one is less Christ-like.
Exactly, Coach, exactly.
That's what they call straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. I'm talking, again, stay with me on this theme here, harsh Christianity. We have so effeminized men. I bet you John the Baptist. Can you imagine being around that dude? Can you imagine how he must have talked? I'm not talking about swear words. Get swear words out of your mind. I'm not talking about that. Can you imagine? Do you think John the Baptist, you think he called a spade? I bet he did. I bet a lot of guys around John the Baptist hated him. I bet a lot of people rejoiced when he got thrown in jail. Shut his big mouth. He's going to get us all hung, right? Isn't that probably where it is? See, we're living in a society today, folks, where radical evil is on the move, and we're worried about our tone.
Coach.
And how we look.
Coach, here we go. I told you this story 32 years ago. Times Square. This is Times Square before Disney was there. This is a filthy Times Square of smut, magazines, pimps, and all that crap. I'm walking towards the train going home from work, and there's a little kid, 10 years old, no more than 10 years old, being chased by two black teenagers, two working-aged black teenagers begging him for money because they knew he's a little kid, little white kid, got some money. Oh, I'm going to get some money from this little white sucker. So I turned around. Of all the people, I turned around and I stopped it. I stopped it. No one else.
Vinny's a big boy, by the way. Vinny's a big boy.
6'4", baby. I'm taking crap.
Well, that was a Christ-like thing to do, wasn't it, Vinny? Okay. So, folks, listen, I don't want to get buried on this, but I think these type of things are critical that we begin to understand. I'll never forget a guy who said to me, Coach, I respect you, respect everything you do, but I just can't be Christian because I don't want to give up my stones, if you know what I'm talking about. Is the world's impression of Christianity? Does it matter? Doesn't matter. And are people walking all over Christians because of the opinion they have of us? We're all Chuck Swindoll, and we're all Dr. Dobson, and we're all Tony Perkins, and our nice ties, and nice and proper, and saying the right thing. I don't know. I'm just asking the question. Somebody, come on in. Come on in here. Maybe I'm the only one feeling it. I see it everywhere I go.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you yell, I feel like it empowers me. Gets me excited, you know? I'll tell you what I'm excited about today. Wichita, Kansas had a 400% increase in their abortions in the last month.
They had a 400% increase?
Yes.
Hey, are people going around cussing? Do they have cussing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what everybody's worried about.
They got cussing under control and all that, huh?
Yeah.
That's what they call straining in a gnat and swallowing a camel, see, in my opinion.
That's right.
Right? Hey. Yeah, Rod.
I've been listening to the program for almost second month you got started, and I think the greatest thing I've learned from it is highlighted today again, is the issue of balance. You know, John was, and James, sons of thunder, but he was also called the apostle of love. So there was probably balance in his life. And I think what the Q has shown me and taught me is the lack of balance of the modern day Christianity that we're exposed to in America. There's not any balance. There is no harshness from Christian men. There's just strictly love. Love is the only thing that's taught. There's never, do you ever hear a pulpit preach how to be a harsh man like John the Baptist? No, there's never any balance. That's what I've learned the most. I've been lied to because I've not been shared the totality of a topic.
Well, Roger, and the truth is, I don't want to make this about me. Those of you, many of you know me pretty well. The truth is, I'm a teddy bear, man. I'm really a teddy bear. But I have this public persona of being harsh. But one-on-one, person to person, I'm a teddy bear, man.
And, hey, Coach.
Yeah.
If there is a true guideline of balance across all of the disciples and the people we know who spoke the name, they all had the equal end. There wasn't a balance in their end. What they did equally and unbalanced, they tipped the scales. You know, the other side of the scales from the disciples and Paul were free men ruling other men. The balance is when you're Christian, you sacrifice. If you're not sacrificing and on the path to, you know, jail or beheading or quartering because you're so bold in the Word of God, the balance is who is speaking out. who is speaking like the disciples, like everybody that's our roadmap, like Jesus? The balance is we're out of balance. We're a bunch of softies. We're complacent. We're sitting in our homes enjoying our pastries. And I'm telling you, that's what's happened to us men. And I'm snapping out of it. Hey, Mark, family grew up in the woods, so it's easier. But a lot of families it's easier for. A lot of families it's harder for.
It is harder. It is. So I spent, listen now, including all of my playing days, I started playing sports when I was about, I was young. So let's say I started when I was six. And now I'm 67. And for 61 of the years, I have been involved, actively involved in lives of men, working with men. And what I think, football, the second most violent, I'm careful how I say it, next to going to war, football is the closest thing a young man's ever going to have to go to war. Now, guys are trained through football to go to boot camp, where they're learned to be, right, you're all with me, police officers, all that stuff, right? I grew up, spent 60, 55 years of my life in the midst of training men to be men, and I know what it takes for men to be men in a hostile environment. I know, I've lived my life doing it. So that's I've been immersed in it. And I can tell you, church ain't going to cut it. It ain't going to cut it. It's not going to cut it for men who have to get actively involved in, dare I say it, societal warfare. It isn't going to happen. One church in a thousand where you go and they train harsh men to be warriors. None. There are none. Enough.
Let me continue that real quick. Apologies. How did I start changing? It wasn't, I knew the Bible not as well as I do now, and I got a lot more to learn. So I had the Holy Spirit. That's not what made me outspoken. It's being around other men, who are more harsh than me, being around other men who are truthful than me. That's what changed me. So as I've changed, other men have came and said, hey, I want to do that. You know, people are, right. I believe that's what calls people to you, Coach, is that's bringing out a side of men that they want to be like. But the balance is way off from where we are. What we should be doing is going in those clinics, grabbing those mothers and escorting them back out, standing in front of it like Ron Brock does. You know, that's boldness. That's where you get arrested. That's what Jesus would do. He would stand in front of. That's what Paul would do. He would speak to the officials. You know, that's the boldness we don't have. So we can't talk about balance yet. We're not there. Yeah. We don't know balance.
We haven't had it modeled to us. Now, I'm just seeing in the chat here. I never, ever said, excuse me, that Christian men have to use curse words. I never, ever said that. Never said that. But I'm going to tell you something. If I get around some real Christian men, I'm going to shock you here, women. There's going to be some hard talking that's going to come out. It won't be continuous, but there's going to be a word that's going to pop out now and then. And I don't think any less of my Christian brother because he said "shit" rather than "poop." It doesn't lower my level of respect for my friend. You understand what I'm telling you? I'm here to tell you that there are people right now in the queue who would shut us off if I said the "shit" word rather than "poop." Right? There is.
And that's not a law.
Well, I understand protocol. Yeah. I don't want to ruin my witness. But at the same time, I want to engage Mark Trump. I want to engage Randy. I want to engage Paul. I want to engage the men in this queue to say, come on, boys, it's all right to be men. It's all right sometimes to allow your passions to be released. It's okay. And sometimes that may not come out perfectly as a Christian would be, or as a Christian would do it, or as Jesus himself may have done it. It may not come out like that, but I cannot undo this Christian male passion that I have inside of me. And the church tells us you can't be Christian and be bold and be harsh. That's what the church tells us. Act like a Christian.
Well, let's go. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, you know what I know? I'm hitting the heart of some men right now. Some of you are ready to turn me off, and some of you are panting like dog. Give me more. Give me more. I know it, man. I know it because they have taken the manly warrior spirit, and they turned you into what do they call one of those soldiers? Jared used to do it, I think, or one of those guys who guards the tomb of the unknown soldier. You just walk back and forth like you're at war. You're not really at war. That's the Christian soldier, see, that we see today. Not the guy, not like Craig Sawyer, who's running in there and rescuing kids that are being child trafficked. That's a man. That's a Christian man. Not the guy holding the sword, walking, guarding the tomb of the unknown soldier. And I'm not making fun of that. I'm giving you a demonstration from one who looks like a solid man and one who's really a solid man. Those are not the same folks.
So you know that Craig Sawyer is doing that he did a fundraiser and they turned the fundraiser off because he was saving children. Why don't we start pulling the tails of these freaks? How come you're stopping that, you freaks? Why are you stopping us from saving children? You're not going to stop us. You're never going to stop us. I'm telling you right now. Now, also, Coach, you're talking about invectives. You notice I've never uttered one invective on your show, not one. Right. But I've lived in a housing project in Brooklyn practically all my life. You tell me how easy it is for me to keep my mouth civil like that. You think about it.
Hey, you suppose Craig Sawyer ever used SHIT? I bet he did. Probably he was rescuing those children. He probably did. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, and things are growing up here with that car lot. A lot of new people coming. And I got... Well, I think four or five people saved in the last couple of weeks. They're just coming hungry. The other day, my buddy walked in, the one's got cancer, and he'd just been born again 2 or 3 weeks ago. He'd been hanging around now for a while, and he came in really upset. I mean, he had teary eyes. And he looked at me, he said, JC, you mad at me? I'm like, the heck is wrong with you? He said, we talked, but we got one guy that always creeps in and causes division. When we get some men to start getting close and we start training them up, he always does this to me for the last 2 or 3 years. And so my buddy Ruben was upset. He said, well, I just wanted to come to you. I looked at him, I said, who said this? And I said the guy's name, I'll use Terry, that's his name, just first name. I said, what is it, Terry? And boy, he looked at me like, how did you know? It's happened many times. So Ruben and I get it all settled. There's four or five guys standing around. A couple of them are just born again, new guys, looking at me like, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to handle this. Ruben leaves. Guess who walked on my car lot 10 minutes later at the back door? I met him, and they knew. Them guys were standing around smiling. Like, oh, he's going to rip him. He comes to the back door. I caught him at the back door. I said, what the hell is wrong with you? I ripped him. I jumped on him and confronted him right in front of them guys. And them guys were like, yes. You know what I mean? It's like, but I'm not going to come in there and ruin our relationship with these guys over a lie. So we took care of it, and these guys were they're smiling, you know what I mean? But it had to be taken care of right then. We did.
I hope you didn't use the word hell. I hope you did.
I did.
All of your good work just went out the window if you did.
I did. They're fine with it.
All right, cool. Somebody else, come on in. Well, I got a million things to talk about.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
One thing I think I've said this to you before, attracted me to the show and you was your demeanor. And, I grew up around a dad that loved me, but also made me walk the line to the point that when I went to basic training, he didn't yell at me like a drill sergeant, but the rigid lifestyle didn't throw me a bit. I mean, I thought at times basic was kind of easy. On that behalf. And over the years, it's like, I guess I didn't realize it until I found you that, I wasn't satisfied with the preachers I kept sitting in front of because it was just this Mr. Rogers preaching, you know, and it's just like, doggone it. And then when I heard you talking, it's like, oh, there it is. You know, I didn't know what it was, but I just had to have more. And I think you were probably 3 months into your show, you know, being on the air. And when I found you, and I haven't missed an episode. I mean, I may not always be watching you live, but I somewhere in the day, I'm stopping to listen to this show. And I think that's how the disciples were. You know, we were talking the other day about, was it Peter or Paul? As soon as they let him out of jail, they said, don't go back to the temple and we'll let you out. And what did he do? Boom. He was in the temple preaching. He had that kingdom mentality that we've talked about on this show. And he was headstrong that all he was going to do was preach the gospel regardless.
Amen.
You can beat me. You cannot feed me. You can take my clothes Amen. Away from me. I'll preach naked, but I'm preaching the gospel until I'm dead.
And Rich, and he didn't care how he appeared. He didn't right. care.
And I think that's where we need to be is not worrying about how we're going to fight the government, because eventually the man of lawlessness is going to be here. So that means our government is going to be whacked, you know. And I think we just need to start just preaching the gospel regardless of what's the bullets flying around us. We're still preaching, you know.
Hey. Yep, amen. And see, the problem is I won't stay on this horse forever. Women run the church. Women and men who act like women run the church. That's why a lot of you are being told by women or men at your church who act like women, quit watching me. Quit watching him. He's harsh. He's angry. He's, pick whatever word it is, and it isn't about me. See, they're trying to feminize you. They're trying to turn you against your very nature. Jesus Christ did not change men into women. He didn't do it. Peter, the loudmouth Peter, was constantly getting himself in trouble. Constantly. He hung around guys of impact. He hung around guys who spoke the truth, who were bold. That's who he hung with. And we have so effeminized men, that I got to act like a woman. Control my emotions, my feelings, or I'm not very Christ-like. They don't even know what that means.
Go to Luke 12:3.
Luke 12:3.
Yeah, Coach, I've known you for nearly 15 years, man. And if you stop stirring it up every once in a while, brother, I'm gonna leave.
Yeah, I had somebody say to me the other day, why are you always apologizing? I said, listen, I ain't apologizing. Maybe I do. I ain't apologizing. I apologize you don't get it. I apologize you don't get it. But I don't apologize that I do get it.
That's my boy.
Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. What you have spoken in the ear and inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Does that mean I'm in trouble, Dale?
That word proclaimed is actually shouted.
Yeah, I'm in trouble then. I got some things I've said in the dark. I don't. Sorry, my manly nature came out on me. I'm sorry.
Hey, Coach, that was so good what you said ago. I'm going to post it on both these Facebook pages, but I'm putting a twist to it. Women and men who act like women run the church, the return of harsh Christian men is reestablishing dominance in this nation. Thank you.
Amen, brother.
Well, hey, Bobby, listen, folks, you can say what you want to. Just go back and, as Dale has told us a number of times, read the book of the Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs. These are men, man. These weren't milquetoast pushover Robert Jeffress. I'm not nothing with Robert Jeffress.
That is the challenge, brother. If you read just a few of those accounts in Fox's Book of Martyrs, you will become a shouter of the gospel. Brother, it stirs you up. What happens in a football game when one of the things they always say, we got the 12th man. The 12th man is the crowd, brother, those who were shouting. Hebrews chapter 12, those that encompass us. What are they spurning us on? They're not whispering at us. Brother, they are shouting for us to stir it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Let me throw a little bit of meat on the table. I agree with the foundational concepts here, but as a Christian, for Roger Weaver, at some time in my life, walking daily, all attributes of Christ should be shown. Now, Dave, your ministry work is much more public than, let's say, the average person. And your ministry has a certain calling. That's your ministry. Mm-hmm. Roger Weaver should have a certain aspect of whatever he's doing, I might focus on. But when I say balance, I'm not talking 50-50. I might be talking 80-20. But all the attributes of Christ in our life should come through at some time. When you look at John, John was, he was called the Son of Thunder, and that is a powerful recognition of him. But obviously, he was called the Apostle of Love too. So there must have been something there that displayed maybe more of a loving mentality. And then the key question there is, what is love? What does love mean? And what I believe it means is you call out truth. And I think the other day I loved the message of OJ's wife, I think, or somebody said, the motive is love, but it's not the message. But
you know,
my point for you, Dave, your ministry is much more of the, I would say, in the harsh, calling out what is going on. But we should also be able to display all attributes of Christ. And whether we want to agree with it or not, there are a few times that we might be showing something other than harshness. My problem is I've never seen anything but love within men's group. And that's what drew me to you coaching my sons down at Fairfield.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
You know, one thing that's missing in the equation of all these be Christ-like thinking and people that they may genuinely think it's really great to be Christ-like, but do they understand what being Christ-like is? Jesus told us what being Christ-like was. He says, I didn't say a word the Spirit didn't give me to say. I didn't do it the thing the Father didn't show me to do. Being Christ-like is being obedient to God. And when you're obedient to God, you don't have to fit anybody's mold, just be obedient to God.
Amen. And that's just it, Coach. Your personality, which God has given you, I'm not sure if you know him or not. Maybe you do. Do you know who David Graves is? He's from Washington.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So you know exactly what I'm going, brother.
He's so soft but sharp, man.
he is exactly that, brother. Man, I think for the first 3 years I met him, I never heard him speak. I thought maybe he couldn't speak. But when he opened his mouth with his soft tone, came out, it was absolute truth. And, Coach, who you are is who you are. Now, that doesn't mean that it justifies if you're sinning. I'm saying your personality, your proclamation, who you are, that's what I've heard everybody in here say. It's what drew me to you. It drew me to you 15 years ago.
I don't think Coach is sitting here trying to say that everybody needs to justify the way Coach rolls. He's saying we need to go out here and be bold.
Amen. Amen.
That's what he's saying. This is not a Friday where we just sit here telling the coach how great he is. Okay. Yeah. Well, he is. That's the whole reason we're here.
And we need to be bold, not like Coach, but like the Holy Spirit has us be, like Larry said. Because gift has to happen, not Coach's. Yeah, Coach's is happening. Coach's is already happening. Now we got to find ours and figure that out. A lot of people have a love gift. That's not my thing, but I have to do that sometimes, just like Roger's saying. And you got to be compassionate. I'm just not that good at it.
So, well, Mark,
sometimes.
So I've had a couple. I get some feedback from my Sunday morning show. And, you know, I try to do different on Sunday morning because it's church. And, you know, I ain't very good at it. I'm not very good at it. That's exactly why I'm not a pastor. You got to know what your calling is. I do the Sunday thing, but I come out. I can't be somebody else. I can't all of a sudden turn into Pastor Dave and do a feel-good message. I can't do it, folks. I cannot
Praise
do
God.
It.
Praise Coach, God.
Coach, I think you're so fantastic on Sunday.
A lot of people don't like it, Vinny. The point is, because they are, they're tuning in to get something. I believe that they've been conditioned by church to get on Sunday. I can't deliver that. I cannot deliver that.
I just laughed when you said that, coach. And I'll tell you what, from a personal experience, as I was the associate pastor underneath a guy named Anthony Marquise, and his preaching was just incredible. And when I started preaching, I tried to be like that. And yeah. I realized that's not me. And when I begin to preach who I am, the way God gifted me, man, people were then drawn to it. You're exactly, I'm just laughing when you said that you're going to be soft preaching on a Sunday morning. And you know what? Here's the thing for those who would criticize or say something. I heard that when I was a worship pastor. Your songs are too loud. They're too short. They're too old. They're too new.
Yep.
Coach, that text I sent you the other day about how we're programmed to be divided. This is just another example of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true, huh?
Hey, Coach. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, the table flipping Jesus is the one that's got all these churches closed down right now across the nation, brother.
Say that again, Alan.
I said the table flipping Jesus has got all the churches closed down right now in America. That guy. The guy that flipped all the tables over in the temple.
I get you. See, here's the problem. I believe there are a lot of good men in America who've closed down the church. You know why they've closed down their church? Because they're worried about the approval of men. I think they're worried about what other pastors might say about them. I think they're worried about what government, whatever. And I think there are a lot of good men who closed down their churches because everyone else told them it was the right thing to do. And I think a lot of them are probably really, really regretting it. And hopefully it'll be a great lesson for them in their lives that the next time something like this comes along, they stand up and do what they believe in their heart, not what their denomination.
Yeah, but Dave, it's not too late for them to reopen. See, they could say, "Look, we're going to have it this Sunday."
That's right.
How many times did Jesus social distance, Coach? How many times?
Yeah. Well, how many times did he teach social distancing? That's the better question.
A whole lot of times
he went up into a mountain to be by himself and a few disciples only. He social distanced a lot.
But for
not because
healing,
of a disease, though. He didn't never do it because of sickness, a pestilence, or disease. They never ran from that ever. No disciple, hey, not Jesus, nobody.
Hey Alan, what, isn't there a process of called, quote, laying on of hands when people need healing?
Yeah.
Isn't that how it works?
Amen.
And
No, Mark. Yeah. No, nowadays, all you got to do is put your hand up to the TV, right? You just got to put your hands up to the TV.
Now after you send your check.
You got to put your hands on the hood of a car now because they're all having church in the parking lot.
That's right.
Now, see, hear this in church.
Mark, hang on a second. Mark,
now, listen. All right. Listen. Let's not offend one another because men take offense so easily. So easily, right?
Yeah.
Hey, dude, be who you are. Just be who you are. Don't be who somebody else tells you you have to be.
Hey, let me offend some people.
You made me this way. I can't be Tony Perkins. I can't do it. Be who you are. And put the meat out on the table and let people eat.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Let me offend some people right now. If you know there's something good that needs to be done, you better go do it. Because not me, not Larry saying this, to those who know to do good and don't do it, that's sin, baby. That's sin. Stop sin.
Larry, get out there and do what's good. Look, Larry, here's the problem. They don't know to do right. They're not being told to do right. They're not told that to go rescue a baby is the right thing to do. They're not told that, Larry. Their pastor's telling them, pray to end abortion, vote to end abortion. They're getting bad instruction on how, hey, somebody go tackle that guy. Don't pray he gets tackled. Don't pray he trips. Don't pray that God sends somebody to tackle him. Go tackle him. But the church is saying, don't tackle him. Don't tackle him. Pray he falls. That's see. So people in their hearts, they think abortion ought to end, but they don't think they ought to end it. Somebody else ought to.
Coach, we win in the end.
So they tell us, hey, I've never been to the end. I don't know if we do or not. I don't know. I hear that we do. I don't know. Boy, it's been, hey, Coach. It's been good.
We got a guy, he's about 68 or 70 years old, and he's been coming to the garage for probably
8 years. Quit acting like it's old.
He's old. But he's been coming. A couple times he's went through some really terrible surgeries, and he was scared, and we laid hands on him a couple times in the garage. And so he come out with miraculous healings. He's on fire. He's talking to everybody. He is fired up. He just called me yesterday, and we've been waiting about 6 or 8 months. And he said, now he's just blown away. He's been talking to his pastor, sending him emails and stuff, standing up and talking in his church. Yesterday, his pastor just turned him down. Sure, doesn't want to hear it no more. Quit sending me that stuff, he said. And he said, the letter you wrote me, I didn't even finish reading it. I said, Dennis, I didn't want to tell you that 6 months ago. We just let you go, but I knew this day was coming. I said, now what are you going to do? He's mad now. He don't even want to hear him. His own pastor is like, jeez.
Hey, listen, I'm running out of time here. Listen, hey, folks, I posted a couple new videos. Jared or Sheldon, go there real quickly. Folks, there's some stuff on. I'm telling you, man, there's a video I posted. Listen, I put it on 1.75 to serve man, the lie of the lie, Polly. Oh, my goodness. Sheriff Mack, I'm going to get him on the show. Just talked to him the other day. Sheriff Mack on the roll, how we can win back America through the sheriffs. Greg Hunter. In fact, I was going to play some of Greg Hunter's. Folks, I'm telling you, watch these videos. Take time to watch these videos. You're mowing your grass, you're riding in your car, whatever you're doing. It's great to go back and watch the shows. I'm honored that people do that. There is so much good stuff on this page that I'm telling you, you are missing. I wouldn't put it up here if I didn't think it was worth it. Now, let's go back to my videos real quick. Oh, man, I only got a couple minutes left. I want to show you one.
15 seconds. Somebody said, we win in the end. That may or may not be true. The truth is, God wins in the end. If you want to be we, then you better be on God's team.
Amen. Amen. We don't even know what the end. I had a video I wanted to play. Oh, my goodness, I didn't get to. Greg Hunter about, what's going on with the oil? Oh, man. I don't have time to do it. Do me a favor, guys. Educate yourself, okay? Get on some of these things. I got like I said, I had a million things. You know, hospital. Listen. Part of the plan, folks. Part of the plan is to make hospitals go broke. That's part of this plan. Why?
Yeah, to federalize them.
Federalize them. Obamacare backdoor. They knew hospitals are going broke, folks. They're going broke. They have no clientele. And what's going to happen? Here's going to become Papa government. They're going to bail them out. And then Obamacare's here. Boy, oh boy. You got to give the devil credit, man. He ain't no dummy. Greg Hunter talks about pensions. How many of you are living on a pension or counting on a pension? How many of you? Do you know cities are broke? You know states are going broke? I'm not trying to scare anybody. I ain't scared at all. I'm not scared about nothing. But a wise man sees trouble coming. And I'm telling you, if they open up America tomorrow, we're in for I don't want to say that word. We are in for H-E-L-L this summer. I'm going to tell you. Huh? People don't have money. They ain't going to be going to Disneyland. They're not going to be out boating. They're not going to be out buying steaks. No. That's all changed. Oil company is going to go broke. People aren't going to have money. Those bailouts are going to come due. Folks, buckle up. We win in the end. But understand this. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And here's all you got to know. Here's all you got to realize is if you would go back and look at this show, One of the most important parts of the entire show was when I put up there Salem Radio, Bot Radio, VCY America, and you'll find out the pablum that the Christian church is hearing, and you'll know exactly why my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The average Christian has no idea what's going on. We're not to be ignorant of his devices, and the average Christian in America ain't got any clue. And let me tell you something. The pulpits aren't going to let you tell them the truth. The media is not going to let you tell the truth. The Christian radio is not going to let you tell the truth. We are in this on our own, boys and girls. And we have to dig and dig and dig to find the truth, because it's only the truth, if you know it, that sets you free. And by the way, I will be here Sunday morning. If you don't like it, don't tune it in. If I'm too harsh for you, don't watch it. Go watch somebody else. Go find Robert Jeffress. Go find somebody else. If you want to get to the meat of what's going on and how it applies to your faith, we'll be here Sunday morning. Play your own praise and worship music. Do your own praying before it with your family. Do all that. You come here, and we're going to dig in deep to what's really going on. Bless you, man. God bless you. I'll see you. Is this Friday? Yeah. I'll see you Monday if I don't see you on Sunday. Thanks for joining us.